Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. After outlining the steps to resolving conflicts between Christians, Jesus was emphatic that the New Testament church should be ruled by love and forgiveness. To illustrate this point, he said the kingdom of heaven was like a certain king who audited a servant that owed a large sum of money. He was forgiven, but refused to show the same grace to a fellow debtor. As a result, the king ordered the wicked servant turned over to the tormentors. Knowing that we are going to be judged, the terror of the Lord is a sobering thought and should govern our actions on earth. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here with me today. And we're going to be talking about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to pray before we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now for your anointing. Thank you for your holy angels surrounding me. Thank you, Father God, for keeping every demonic force away from me. And help me, Lord, to present this message in such a way that it will change the lives of believers. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 18:21. That's Matthew 18:21. And we talk about reconciliation. After outlining the three steps to resolving a conflict between believers in Christ, Peter came to Jesus and asked him about forgiveness. He wanted to know how many times should he forgive those who have hurt us. And this is what Jesus, we read here from verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? I'm sure that Peter felt, you know, I'm gracious here. I got 7 times I'm willing to forgive, you know, if this guy does me harm. Jesus said unto him, I said to you unto 7 times, but unto 70 times 7, that's 490 times. You need to get a little notebook and write down, my brother trespass against me today, 1 strike. And then you wait until you get to 490 and you said, okay, now you're done, man. I forgave you 490 times. What Jesus here is saying is this. We have to continually forgive. It doesn't mean that you got to run with somebody that is hurting you. It doesn't mean that you got to be buddy-buddy with them. But it means this, that you got to release and forgive them. And simply say, I'll let God sort it out. Now, if all of us Christians have this attitude of forgiving one another, we won't have any problems. Now, I had a little incident a few days ago, and I got really upset. And I tried to resolve it, and the person made fun of me and simply more or less told me, go and fly a kite. And what do you do when somebody tells you that? So I walked away. Angry. I could feel it boiling in me. And then I realized after a little while, you got to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I want justice. I want my rights. And the Holy Spirit said, you got to forgive. I've been walking long enough with the Lord, smart enough, that I know this. If the Holy Spirit tells you something, you better say, yes, sir. Or something else will happen to you that you don't like. So I decided, I'm going to forgive. Did the other person make it right with me? No. That will probably not happen until we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Unless by miracle it be worked out here on this earth. So, we need to get to the point. It's not important if my feelings get hurt. That's not important. What's important is I'm clear with God, and I do my best to be clear this way. If you keep your fingers right now in Matthew here, go with me to Exodus chapter 21. You're going to see here how Jesus set it up here with Moses. So Exodus chapter 21. And let's go to verses 23. So we have Exodus chapter 21, verse number 23. If any mischief follow, then you should give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You might say, that was a rough law. This was a nice law, because at the time when this was given to Moses, if you did something wrong in one of these countries, they just killed you. Everything that you did wrong was a death sentence on. No questions asked. You stole, they killed you. You did something else, they killed you. And so what Jesus said was this, now we're going to have it measured. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We're going to have it measured. Now let's go back now to Matthew chapter 18. So, this was the thinking of Peter. If you keep your finger there now, go back to Matthew chapter 5. And you pick it up here in verse number 38. That's Matthew 5, 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I said to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him also have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that ask you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn you not him away. You have heard it have been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That doesn't mean that if somebody breaks into your house, that you simply says, okay, what do you want to take? Well, I want to kill your wife. All right, that's all right. She's over here. Help yourself. You have a right to self-defense. Now, this is part of the woke. There was a couple of guys working for Starbucks. I guess about a couple of weeks ago. Robber came in. And these guys jumped him, took away his gun, and beat him up, and there was a fight between them. And so he didn't rob it. The company responded by firing the employees that resisted and said, you shouldn't do that. Let them have what he wants. So it doesn't mean that we are harmless as doves, but we got to be smart like serpents. So we can protect ourselves. But if there is a conflict of some kind, we don't have to push it and say, it's going to be my rights. I'm going to be right. You back down. Let the Lord deal with the other people. And learn this. If you forgive, here's what's going to happen. Your blood pressure is going to go down. Your heartbeat is going to go back to normal. You're going to feel your stomach is going to be so great, you're going to digest the food perfectly. Because now you're in harmony. And you're flowing in the Holy Spirit. What's the price for unforgiveness? In Matthew 18:23, we read this. Therefore is a kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. Let's just go down now. I'm going to stay right here in a text. So this king now, he simply said he was going to take an account. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents, or approximately $3.8 million. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Picture the servant now falling down on his knees and saying, have mercy on me. Give me time, and I will pay it off. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt, and said, you don't have to pay me back. I forgive you. A total release. But the same servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe me. This guy had no mercy. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He had no mercy on him. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said to him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should you not also have had compassion upon your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, delivered unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that were due unto him. So what do we learn out of this story now? If you turn now to page number 2 on the outline, that's page number 2. The king furiously ordered the wicked servant to be sent to prison, to be tormented, until the debt was satisfied. The same thing happened in church when members turned against brothers and sisters in Christ or displaced them in some way. They bring a matter before the church when the rest of the defenders sent to cast out. And this infighting is responsible for the loss of church members and abuse of the system Jesus instigated in the previous message for settling conflicts. I've been through about 5 or 6 church splits. I lost about 4 churches. They got doesn't exist anymore because of infighting. Here's a strong warning. Jesus issued a strong warning about forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Failure to heed this warning will put you in the same position as the forgiven servant. God the Father will turn you over to tormentors until your debt is satisfied. Let's read verse number 35 again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Jesus did not explain who the tormentors were, how the punishment would be carried out. He left the disciples to their own thoughts of how and when it would take place. The rest of the story was revealed to the Apostle Paul some 30 years after Jesus' ascension. Remember now, we got progressive revelations in the Bible. So you get a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. So now, let's find out what's going to happen to you when you arrive in heaven. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. First Corinthians chapter 3, and we begin in verse number 11. For out of foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's settle it now. When we built this building here that we're in, the chapel, there was a foundation laid. This is built on stem walls. And they're pretty thick, a lot of concrete around it. And so that's the foundation. Once the foundation was built, then we proceeded to build the building. So remember this now. Your salvation is based upon Jesus, his works. It is not based upon performance. That's his foundation. Salvation is by grace, is a gift of God that can never be earned. Repentance and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior bestows salvation. And let's look upon a couple of here now verses on this. So we start by going to the book of Acts, chapter 19. So the book of Acts, chapter 19. Chapter 3, verse number 19. Get too excited here. 3:19 is where we were to go. Peter said to the people here, repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. What does it mean to repent? Well, let me try to explain that to you. I'm going out for dinner and I take Brother Soteris with me. We sit at a restaurant. He sits opposite me. And as we sit there and we go to eat, suddenly I just kick him really hard on his leg. And you go, oh, woo, you know. And after he comes down, I said, Satiris, I'm very, very sorry. I'm sorry I did that. He goes, okay, I'll forgive you. So we keep eating. And after about 10, 15 minutes, boom, I hit him again. Same place. And this time he's howling. He's really hurt. After he comes down, I said, Satiris, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. He says, well, okay, I forgive you. I do it the third time. The third time Satiris is going to tell him this. You jerk. You're not sorry. You mean nothing. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to leave. I don't want to see you again. When we repent, we mean it, and we try not to repeat it again. That's repentance. Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. And by the way, Satiris, I never kicked him, so he's okay. Romans 10, verse number 8. But what says it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoso believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have repentance, and then we call upon the name of the Lord. We begin to confess him with our mouth. And then we go up a few to Ephesians, and we look in chapter 2, that's Ephesians, the second chapter. And we're going to read verses 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by grace, by repentance. We are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I'm going to read from there now. Once we are saved, it is necessary now to build upon that foundation as we live it out. We can do things that are eternal or live for the moment with nothing to show on the other side. If you read now from verse number 12. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which you build thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you, each one of us, we have a foundation was built. Now you can either build something nice on that, or you can build like the homeless people, you know, just a ramshackle, and there's really no value in it. But here's what I want you to get a hold of now. Most Christians have the understanding. I'm saved, and when I go to heaven, I'm going to walk in, and it's going to be glory, hallelujah, no problems. Let me tell you this. You are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Many people will say when they come up there, what's this judgment here? I'm in heaven. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. You know, I'm standing on Christ. I'm saved by grace. And the angels will say to you, yes, you are. But you're going to give an account now. I don't like that. Well, that's the way it is up here. They're going to give you a number, a time. And you says, this sucks. Good to go to this judgment seat. What's going to happen? Well, they're going to, good stuff you're going to be rewarded for, bad stuff you're going to pay for. Let me say it now and say it later again. Everything that you've done bad for the point of salvation and back will never come up. That's gone under the blood. But everything you've done from the salvation up to the time you leave earth, you are responsible for. We have an eraser called the blood of Jesus. We can ask God for forgiveness and the debt is wiped out. But every sin that you do not repent of will be paid for at the judgment seat of Christ. So let's go now to 2 Corinthians 5:10. And you know, there's going to be a lot of pastors up there going to be cursed out because they didn't tell people, you know, that you're held accountable. And I want you, when you come up there, I want you to know that there's going to be a judgment seat. And you're going to be judged. And I don't want you to come in and say, I want you to have a chance now to deal with issues here. Understand? You got the blood. You ask for forgiveness. You ask God to forgive you. You live in forgiveness. The blood washes it out. And you come up there, and Jesus will say, well, you're clean. You say, praise God. You're saved. But if you have anything, you're going to pay at that point. In 2 Corinthians 5, we pick it up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that is done, whether it be good or bad. There's no buts about it. That's the way it is. Good or bad. So this judgment seat is in heaven. My personal belief is, I don't have a verse on that the moment that your body dies on earth and you go to heaven, you simply go to the judgment seat of Christ, and it is hashed out there for the rest of eternity what you're going to do or not do. That's my belief. I don't have a verse on it. But you are going to be a judgment seat. As I said now before, every sin committed before the time of salvation will not be brought up since it was covered by Jesus on the cross. However, every unconfessed sin will count against us at the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer has the power to judge themselves on earth and repent. We come back here to... So keep your finger there and turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 28. First Corinthians. Let me see what I write. Second Corinthians. No wonder it doesn't fit. First Corinthians, chapter 28. First Corinthians 11. Okay. Some of the mess of my sight here. 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let me eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep, the word there is, and many have died that take the Lord's Supper wrongly. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So here it is. You have a chance to judge yourself. Every night before I drift off to sleep, I do a little survey of what I did during the day. And says, God, if there are some things I've done I need to repent of, show it to me. It could be attitude, sin, whatever it is, temper. And I want to make sure that before I go to sleep, I am clean. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I want to have an easy time at the judgment seat of Christ. If you look now to John chapter 1 here, that's 1 John. So we go to 1 John, and he tells us here how we can do and how it should be done. Verse number 5. This then is a message we've heard of him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So there you have it now. I do notice that Baptists are not too happy on this teaching, because they think, you know, once you're saved, I mean, it covers everything. You never have to ask for forgiveness. But you now have a chance on earth to keep a short sin account. And if you are convicted, if somebody said, well, that was not right, and if they are correct, then repent. Get it under the blood. Very simple. If you're rebellious and you says, I don't believe that, I'm saved, I'm unsaved, you know, I'm okay. All right? You're going to be sorry. So let's see what happened now if you do not repent. So if we go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read a nasty verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. The terror of the Lord. When you come up to that judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a reckoning. And if it is found out that you did this, you did that, you said this, whatever it is, and you did not repent of it, Jesus is going to say, well, here's what we have against you. This is the count that you have. Hopefully your list is short. Some prayers will be longer. Now, Jesus is going to say to you this. I had the option for you. I paid for all sins. And you had the option when you were on earth to ask for forgiveness, and my blood would have washed it off. But you made a choice not to repent. Now you're standing here, and I cannot let you into heaven itself until this has been paid. And you're going to go, oh my God. If I would have known that, oh, I would have been repenting all the time. So what's going to happen? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And these are pretty bad verses. So Hebrews chapter 10, we pick it up in verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which are devoured the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy to two or three witnesses. How much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belong unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. This is not about unbelievers. The Lord shall judge his people. And then verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You've been to the dentist a number of times. And you know when you get into the dentist, you're not going to die. You're going to walk out. But you're going to have a lot of pain. Even if they numb you. And you sit there, and you said, oh, man, oh, And then finally the dentist says, okay, we're done. And you wipe your sweat off here and says, okay. Oh, that was rough. Picture like that now at the judgment seat of Christ. So now, back to Matthew 18. You can do two things. You can simply say, well, I disagree with you, John, on this. I don't believe this. And that's fine. That's what you want to do. That's okay. You'll be sorry someday later. Matthew 18:34. It's better to repent than to be stubborn. In Matthew 18:34, we read this. Matter of fact, let me read the text here. We can therefore conclude that there will be angels meting out punishment to believers in Christ after they have been prejudged and found guilty at the judgment seat of Christ. So now we read Matthew 18, verse number 34. And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all of our due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Here's what I want to warn you about now. These angels will be tormenting you. They would take you for the judgment seat of Christ, take you to a special place where they will where you will pay for it, and you get locked up. If you sit in a chair, if you lay on a gurney, I don't know. You get strapped down, and then the torment will begin. These are holy angels. Do they have pleasure in this? No. But they will do their job. And so, whatever you've been sentenced to, some people might be in there for an hour. Some people might be in there for a week. Some people might be in there for a month. We don't know. Depends what you've done, how much you have. But during this time, everything that you refuse to put under the blood, you will pay for yourself. And then, when the payment is done, they'll let you out, get your white robe, and you cannot join the general population in heaven. And says, well, praise God, that's over. You don't have to have a lot of torment if you simply judge yourself. Let me read a psalm over here. Few pastors teach of the judgment seat of Christ. It's not good for the offering plate, folks. It will not do good for the money. The general belief in churches is that once you are saved and die, you'll be taken to heaven and all your sins on earth are forgiven. There's no accountability to unrepented sins committed by a Christian at salvation. There are two things that will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, accountability for your life on earth after salvation. Number two, rewards will be based on merit, and our eternal position will be settled. Since most Christians are ignorant about the judgment seat of Christ, they are not preparing themselves, and there will be much regret in heaven. Most pastors will be cursed by their members for failing to teach about eternal accountability. This is not a nice message I taught today. And I would want to talk about, you know, how great God is, how good God is. God wants to heal us. He wants to love us. He wants to do all these kind of things. And I do that. But I will do you injustice if I will not tell you the rest of the story when you get to heaven. Today, instead of getting upset and saying, you know, I don't like that service, I don't like this and that, look at the scriptures again. And then say this, I'm not going to be rebellious. I will be a repentant Christian. I'm not going to argue with other people over stuff that is not worth anything. I will, if I've done something wrong, I will repent of it. Most of our stuff we do wrong is against God. We lie. God tells us to do something and we don't do it. We get into some kind of scrap with somebody. We get angry, resentful. And God says, I don't like that. I want a good attitude. We need a tune-up. Get a tune-up here by tuning yourself up. Because when you judge yourself, there's no pain. You understand that? When the blood of Jesus comes over you, there's no pain. It washes away your sins, make you feel good. And Don't you want to be prejudged when you come up into heaven? Like some people that fly, they like to have everything done beforehand. You know, they are pre-approved, and they are already got the tickets and everything else. They got the seat. They just walk right to it. You want to be prejudged. And the good news is, you are your own judge. No one else is going to judge you. You do it yourself. Just take time this afternoon or this week, you know, sit down and say, Lord, show me if I have any kinks that I have not laid under the blood. Remember this now. Everything you did from salvation and back to your birth, that's gone. Don't worry about that. It's what you did after your salvation. And if you do that, you can walk up into heaven, and you have your court date, and you walk in. Jesus, look at it. He says, well, there's a clean slate here. I don't see anything. So there's no torment for you. So let's see now what we're going to reward you with. And then he's going to look upon what you've done for Jesus on this earth. A lot of people are going to have very few rewards because they did most for themselves. And this is when you're going to say, well, did I do that? Did I do that? So we want to be prejudged, and you want to make sure that you are growing in Christ and that you do things for Jesus, and you will get your reward. Let me see if I can summarize this, and if you understand that. I'm up here today preaching. So somebody's going to get saved. Now, that salvation is not going to be given 100% to my account. Part of that would go to a camera operator. He would get a percentage. And then those of you that were giving money to the ministry so that we could have this, we could pay for electricity, I had food to eat and stuff like this, you get a percentage. So all of us are together in this. And all of us will reap benefits as we work together. And God is looking upon how faithful we are. Michael Moore is just as important as I am or anyone else in this ministry. God loves him just as much as anyone else. And as he faithfully do his jobs, he will not be judged against what I do, but he will be judged against what he does. And when he does a good job, when he works, God will reward him as much as he will reward me during preaching or counseling. So all of us would get a fair share. Be faithful in whatever you do. Do it well. Do it unto the Lord. As we close now, there's someone watching, because this program here will be aired on YouTube and other places. It can go for years to come until Jesus comes back or the Antichrist takes it down. But you are watching this and you say, wow, I want to get saved. I want to get into heaven and I want to start repenting. How do I do that? Well, very simple this. Confess that you're a sinner and you know that you are. Secondly, say this. I believe that God is. I believe that Jesus is his son. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day. And he paid for my sins on the cross. And through Jesus Christ, I can be saved. If you do that, you will be saved. The good news is this. Pastor Charles will come. You will hear his voice. You will not see him. And when we finish here and then the screen changes on your computer or your television, you see three crosses coming up, and Pastor Charles will say, "My friend, he take 10 minutes with you and make sure that you are saved and ready for heaven." That's how simple it is. When you do that, would you contact us? We'd like to rejoice with you and let us know, "I got saved today," so we can pray with you and rejoice with you. To those of you that are saved watching this program, think deeply what I said here today. And then say this: "I need to examine my life. I want to start prejudging." Go someplace real low and ask God, "God, is there anything I've done that I didn't put under the blood?" And he will show you. Repent of it. Put on the blood. If you need to go and ask for forgiveness for someone, do it. If you ever you sit there for a while and you can't figure anything else, you simply say, "God, if there's anything else, please forgive me for that blanket covered to the blood." And he will. That's the good news. You can be prejudged. And when you get to heaven, just get your rewards and then on to glory. With that, Thomas.
All right. I want to share a little Bible scripture this morning, too. Because, like Pastor John said, the more you push in the kingdom, the more resistance you're going to get. And that is true. But also we have these great promises. And one of my favorite scriptures I want to share, and I think it's pertinent to today, because if you're watching the world, you know, they're trying to put down, they're already sending out their messages on their disease X. I'm sure you heard about it. So I don't receive disease X or Y or Z. None of it. But we already saw one of the, what I call the major birth pains of the, you know, the signs of the times with this COVID program. So the scripture I'm going to read is a few verses in Psalm 91, and I think, you know, you can read the rest of it. But it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right, at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." I'm just going to read it all. It's too good not to. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I printed that out a few years back and put it on my sofa at my shop so I could read it often. And anyway, I just wanted to share that scripture. And also, I wanted to, when it comes to our intercessory prayer, you know, I'm reminded of the scriptures in the Bible that says that nations will get leaders after their own heart. And so, the people in the nation need a change, so that they can get righteous leaders. So I just wanted to point that out. So Father God, we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God, that it is so deep and so vast and so wide that we can never take it all in. And Jesus can say a few words that will carry so much weight for eternity. And it is a beautiful thing. So thank you, Father, for the Word. You laid it out in front of us, what we must do to walk in righteousness and to live according to your design. You have showed us in your Word the things that have went on before us in ancient times, the results, and things to come. We have so much available. I'm reminded of Isaiah 46:10, where it says, the things that were of old will be shown, that are shown to us will show what's coming in the future. So I thank, Lord, that we are in that time. But many men have come before and thought the same thing. But your Word also says this, that of the day and hour knoweth no man, but of the times and the seasons we will know. So I do believe that we are seeing the times and the seasons. So I thank you, Father, for continually that we get to break down your Word. We thank you, Lord, that we have it. And it is a light unto our path, Lord. Your Word also says there's going to be a famine for the Word one day. So that is a great tragedy. And so we need to hide it in our heart. So we ask your blessing upon everybody that tuned in. We pray for the souls of men, that they might receive salvation. And we pray for the Christian that names the name of Jesus but walks in iniquity, that there would be some changes made. And I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity.
There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 48th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Judgment Seat of Christ. After outlining the steps to resolving conflicts between Christians, Jesus was emphatic that the New Testament church should be ruled by love and forgiveness. To illustrate this point, he said the kingdom of heaven was like a certain king who audited his servants and found that one owed a large sum. He was forgiven, but refused to show the same grace to a fellow debtor that owed him a paltry sum in comparison. The king furiously ordered the wicked servant to be turned over to the tormentors. The judgment seat of Christ should be a sobering thought for every Christian. If you are willing to judge yourself, you can avoid the terror of the Lord. Confess your sins, forgive others, and don't hold grudges. When your time on earth comes to an end, there will be a reckoning in heaven. Will it be a joyful homecoming or something you dread? The choice is entirely yours. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1947. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.